So I want you to think about your level of peacefulness over the last few days, few weeks. Like if you were to rate it today on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being free of tension, calm, tranquil, 1 being the opposite of that, where would you score yourself? If you want, share the number with the person next to you that you came with. I would be at a fill in the blank. If you're watching online, you can share there. If you're watching later in the week, whoever you're traveling with yourself, just think, where would you score yourself? How many of you would be at a 5 or higher? You'd be at a 5 or higher. So, man, a lot of hands. How many of you would be like 7, 8 or higher? Let's go 8 or higher, a few of you. How many of you feel like you're on the low end of the scale? Like, ooh, not quite peaceful enough. It feels like every day or every other day is a battle. You feel a little phased and confused. Yeah, I said phased. It's a real word, okay? If you didn't know, phased means surprised, disturbed, perturbed. I love that word. Use that at the office this week. There's your word challenge. I'm so perturbed right now. It'd be great, right? Surprised, and we're not talking about the, oh, my team just won the surprise. We're talking about, wait, what? You know, that kind of surprised. It seems like every day or every week we turn around and there's something unexpected phasing us. I was trying to get to work the other day through mommy. You've been there. I was phased, okay? I imagine some of you have been phased by all of the, every turn I make, it's like, oh, more traffic. Awesome. I was driving on 475 the other day, one of the outer belts in Northwest Ohio, those of you watching outside of Toledo, and two different vehicles, a semi and some other vehicle, laid on their horn at me. Like, I was driving normal. I wasn't speeding. I didn't think I was in their way. They were just phased. If it was you that honked at me, I don't think it was a friendly honk. You know what that sounds like? Weep, weep. You know, this is more like a wah. You know, like, if that's you, I'm really glad that you're here, okay? My name's Ben. We're going to have some fun today. You think about traffic, not to mention any sort of normal family scuffles with your spouse or your kids that you go through the week about things being left and all, you know, and messes and responsibilities, or you go to school or work or, you know, the pickup line at school or like a school hangout and there's different viewpoints that you may not fully agree with, right? Or you have something that you experience online, in the news, on social media. It's like everywhere we turn, if we're honest, there are things that are surprising us, disturbing us, and perturbing, is that a word? Perturbing us in our world. And the question is it possible to navigate this crazy, chaotic life unfazed, not surprised, not disturbed, not perturbed as an initial reaction? Now, that doesn't mean we just ignore problems, okay? I'm not suggesting you just put a smile on your face and pretend that everything's awesome, you know, like the Lego movie. I'm not saying downplay what's wrong in our world. I'm certainly not suggesting that you minimize grief, because, I mean, I've had conversations with many people. In fact, Cedar Creek lost one of our own amazing Dream Team members to a tragic an accident this week. So I'm not saying like ignore grief and just pretend that it's not heartbreaking, but in the midst of that, is it possible to live less reactive to all of the things that we have? That's the question that we're going to explore over the next few weeks. Because when I look at our world, we could use a few more people who know how to navigate life unfazed. I want to welcome you to Cedar Creek, whatever campus you're attending. I know there are some of you watching online, wherever you're at. Thanks for tuning in. I met a guest who came for the first time because she had watched on TV for a few months. So I know some of you are watching on TV. We have men at Toledo Correction. Will you put your hands together to welcome all of our guests who are watching online and on TV? It's great to see you and spend time with you. We're spending about 5 weeks unpacking one of the words that I think is used to describe pretty frequently throughout the New Testament and certainly throughout the Bible and what it looks like to have a relationship with God. One of the outcomes is peace. One of the outcomes then is unfazed. The question is, how do we experience God's peace And the reality is you're going to see and you're going to hear what we're going to talk about is how God equips and empowers us to live unfazed. But what's helpful is to begin to be aware of how we tend to react. What is our brand of phased? And so I created a little grid just to help you begin to think about your own life. This isn't perfect. And so if you start to argue with me in your head, which I know some of you do, I would do it too, about this, I get it. I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit about emotions and actions that are typical of you when you encounter something surprising or something disturbing or something that makes you a little frustrated. And these behaviors are not meant to shame anybody. They're not in and of themselves necessarily bad. And oftentimes they are quite natural for you. You'll just assume this is how everybody responds. And I'm going to suggest that maybe it's an indicator to get a little curious that something more is going on. And so the first reaction to things that are surprising and delighting, disturbing and perturbing, the first reaction sometimes is for people to avoid it. It's like, I just want to disappear. Problems come up, and it's like, all right, I'll be right there, you know? It's like, I'm going to get out of the way, right? You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to stir the pot. You don't say anything. You kind of check out, walk out, bow out when things get like that. And ultimately, it causes you to miss out on things that are meaningful. And if you don't know how to deal with tension, at some point, it'll all build up and come out in unhealthy ways. And typically, at the heart of this is a fear of discomfort. It's like whenever things get uncomfortable, I just want to disappear. Sometimes the fear is I don't want to make people uncomfortable. There's a people-pleasing nature to this. And so if this is you, maybe it's not you, maybe it's somebody that you know. And you know what, here's the thing. Some of you are already throwing elbows, okay? No elbow throwing here. This isn't like, hey, this is you, okay? This is really a time for you to be reflective. And besides, if you were throwing an elbow, it might be an indicator of your typical phase style, which is to get a little aggressive, okay? You're like, oh, I'm going to show you, you know? It's like, I'm going to make my point. You may disagree on the emoji, but you can email me this, because aggressive people usually do. You know, your desire is to prove a point, or you know, you're gonna get the job done. You may not consider yourself a super emotional person, although there are some aggressive emotional responses where you can get a little angry or whatever, but sometimes aggressive people are just gonna drive hard, work hard, push hard, do more, accomplish more, and they're held captive by a fear of failure, a fear of insignificance, a desire for it to be perfect. And the problem is you're not perfect. I know you know this, but we chase it, right? And then sometimes we put this unrealistic, idealistic expectation on our job, on our boss, on our country, on our spouse, on ourselves. And you know what happens? You crush it. You crush your marriage. You crush other people. You live under the impossible expectations you place on yourself. And it's debilitating. And you're like, wow. Well, it's because you're driven. You're phased. It's like when things get surprising or disturbing or make you angry, it's like you think you could just push through, and you can't. You can't. It's why some people, when they encounter things that are surprising or disturbing or perturbing, get a little anxious. If aggressive is driven by a fear of failure or a desire to get it right and to conquer it, the anxious person is driven by a fear of the what ifs. What if this happens? Oh my goodness, what about that? How do I guard against that? And the truth is, anxious people can be angry. And aggressive people can be angry. Anger is a secondary emotion, meaning there's something else under the surface of your life that's causing the reaction to anger in your life. So when you're anxious, what if is what drives your life? And that is an exhausting way to live. Why? Because you can't control every circumstance. And so you try to solve for all of the what ifs, 95% of which aren't going to happen. And so you end up completely burnt out all of the time, which when you live in this phased state long enough, oftentimes it leads people to this defeated, depressive, negative thinking state where it's like, oh, nothing's going to go right. I'm never going to get it right. I'm always going to be disappointed. You start to sound like the character from Winnie the Pooh named Eeyore. Yeah, you know Eeyore, right? You probably have an Eeyore in your life. Oh, why bother? You know, it's like, it's never going to go well, all right? What happens is when that becomes your life, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Why meet new people? It's not going to matter. You stay home and then you feel alone. And I'm not making light of it because loneliness is becoming an epidemic in our world. And so I want you to think for a minute, which one of these phased states has been a trend for you recently? Like when you think about this, avoidance, aggressive, anxious, depressive, which one resembles you? You know what? I have an idea. Why don't you point out the phased version that you think the person next to you has, okay? Be like, you know what? Some of you are like, yes, I will. Honey, you've been a little whatever. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. That could be bad. Lose you for the rest of the service, you know. If you're like me, when you think about it, I'm more than one. Yeah, I see almost all of these in myself. And you know what I've noticed? Maybe you do too. Maybe it's like it depends on the person. It depends on the topic, the circumstance. You know what my tendency is when I'm feeling a little phased? My tendency is to blame those people out there. Oh, if my kids, if culture, the news, those people, that email, if they wouldn't, I wouldn't feel this way. But the way that we become unfazed isn't by waiting for our world to change. God invites us to do some inner work, to pay attention to what's happening in here, to find how he invites us to find peace in the midst of a crazy, chaotic world. The same peace that Jesus had in the midst of some of the ridiculous, traumatizing circumstances that he found himself in. I believe that that's possible. But where we need to begin is by acknowledging our brand of phased, even more by acknowledging that we're a multidimensional being. You're not just a physical body. Some people would love to simplify humans down to a physical being that has natural physical impulses. You're a little more complicated than that. And I think it's important to acknowledge that you are also a mental and emotional being. It's why I think there are tools and resources out there that help us with our mental health. And oftentimes in churches, those things aren't talked about enough. Because if you need some mental help, some medication to help resolve what's broken neurologically, I think we should be comfortable stepping into that and talking about that. The problem is, you're not just a physical and mental being, you're also a spiritual being. And I'm not saying just pray it all away, but I am saying God did not leave you and me here to solve our problems with our own physical and mental resources. I believe with God, it is possible to live with his peace growing in us in every circumstance. In fact, if you open up the pages of scripture, you see this talked about. I'll show you an example. First century pastor Paul, he's talking to a group of Christians that are being persecuted for their faith. They're losing their job. They're losing their family. Some of them are losing their lives in torturous ways. And here's his advice. Be careful how you live. Well, no duh, right? But listen, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. They make the most, this is a key sentence, of every opportunity in these evil days. I think it is possible for you to make the most of every opportunity. I think it's possible for you to make the most of your life even when we're living in evil days. How? Not by being foolish. He goes on, don't act thoughtlessly, that's foolish, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Like, when we begin to understand God's purpose for our life, when we begin to tune in to what God is inviting us, the steps God is inviting us to take, that is how we find steadiness in an unsteady world. And so how do we do that? Look at what he says next. Don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. That's an interesting pivot. I mean, we were talking about understanding God's will, and now all of a sudden we're talking about don't be drunk with wine because it'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord. I mean, is he just talking about alcohol here? I don't think so. Although, if we're honest, when you're watching football or any of your favorite shows and you see a commercial, what does alcohol promise? It's like, hey, this will make the stress go away, right? And the truth is, it's not just alcohol. There's all sorts of things that we look to just take the stress away. We try to fill our life up with it, and it doesn't help. It was August of 2020, our favorite year, okay? That lovely, lovely year where it was August where we were beginning the process of opening up our physical locations for people to attend physically again. And if you remember, I'm not trying to bring up any trigger PTSD trauma, but we were under a mask mandate across the state. And so we were trying to navigate, how do we steward our influence? How do we follow what we feel like God's inviting us to do? And how do we keep our eyes focused on our mission of introducing people to Jesus and the life-changing adventure with him? And so as we were making these decisions, everybody agreed with everything that we did. It was amazing. I mean, I never got a single complaint. If you believe me right now, we don't know each other well enough, okay? I was blown away by some of the comments that were made to me about my motivation or our motivation or our fear with people who walked with me for years. And I remember thinking, this isn't fun. Like, I didn't sign up for this. The weight of trying to go, God, how do we stay faithful to our mission in the midst of this crazy, chaotic world? And I remember just feeling stress, and it got, you know, it gets to the point where when I'm feeling the weight of it, I get home. One of the first things I noticed is I went down to the basement to my fridge to grab a beer. Some of you are like, Ben drinks a beer? Yes, okay. And we're not here to talk about, like, is that okay? Yes. You know what? Let's just save that conversation for later. I just blew some of your minds. But yes, I went down to the basement, and the first thing I thought was to grab a beer. And I thought to myself, I remember thinking, so this is how it starts. Stress goes up. And the first thing I look for relief. And we're not talking about getting drunk. We're just, it's like, Snyder, why are you doing what you're doing? Like, what are you trying to fill your life up with? What is it for you? I mean, we all have things that we're tempted with when we're phased, when we're disturbed, and when we're frustrated. It's like, what are you getting drunk on? Maybe it is alcohol. And maybe today is God's way of saying, whoa, it'll ruin your life. But so will mindless scrolling. And so will binge watching stuff on Netflix. So will just add to cart. And I love that, okay? That's a lot of fun. You know when those boxes show up on my front porch, a little dose of dopamine, it's like, treasure. And then I open it up, and it's for Lauren. And it's for Lauren. And it's for Lauren. Darn, you don't just add to cart. No, you know what we say when we're doing that? Maybe you don't. Here's what I say: I just need to not think for a few minutes. Foolish people act thoughtlessly. Now, I'm not saying never do that, I'm not here to try to build a case that it's all evil. I'm trying to increase your awareness. Be careful. Don't fill your life with it because it will ruin your life. Instead, if we want to live steady in an unsteady world, we need to be filled with God's Spirit. That is what enables us to give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we fill our life up with God, then what I notice is I become less reactive to, less consumed, controlled, or overwhelmingly concerned by what's happening around us or all of the angsty feelings I have within us. It says it this way in Romans 8, that when we let our sinful nature, what comes naturally to us, control our mind, it leads to death. But when we let the Spirit control our mind, it leads to life and peace. Doing what comes naturally to you and me, our sinful nature, it will kill you. The word for sin, the word sin means to separate. It means to miss the mark. Bullseye, direct. Sin, miss. So we're not perfect. I think we all understand that. If not, I'll talk to you afterwards. It won't take long to point out that you're not perfect. I'm not either, okay? And when we sin, it separates us from God, from what God intended for us, from our purpose. It separates us from each other. I mean, I don't know of a marriage or a relationship that's ever worked with people lying to each other, okay? That's what sin does. It separates us from God's original intent. God created us to be known not by our default wiring or what comes most naturally to us. He created us to be known in community and relationship with Him and each other. And so letting the natural way that you're wired, or whatever that is, it will lead to separation. But God's Spirit, what does it produce? It produces life and peace, I think something that we all want. And we're not talking about peace in terms of the absence of problems. We're talking about a holistic peace in the midst of whatever circumstances you're facing. This is God's desire for you. Do you believe that? Or do you feel like God is like a cosmic killjoy that's sitting up in heaven waiting for you to screw it up? So many people believe that's how God views them, when in reality, God wants you to experience life and peace with Him. And what we need to live this unfazed life is God's Holy Spirit. We need to allow His Holy Spirit to fill our lives, which is part of the problem. Because oftentimes, people don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we talk about this around here occasionally, but depending on your church background, you all potentially bring preconceived notions about what that's about. I mean, for some of you, you have zero church background. You're actually in the best position because you don't have any baggage. It's a perfect weekend for you to hear about it, something that you're familiar with, but you may not know a lot about. But there are others of you that when I put this word on the screen, you're fist pumping in your seat. You're like, finally, Snyder is bringing some deeper teaching, you know? It's like, yes! And for some people, the temptation is to overemphasize the Holy Spirit. And so they talk about God's Spirit, and they talk about speaking in tongues, and they're feeling the Spirit move in them. Like, it's a feeling. Like, oh, I could just feel the Spirit during that song. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when you can feel God's Spirit in powerful ways. But when we associate the Holy Spirit with feeling alone, then that means when we are not feeling it, where's the Spirit? That's not true. Spirit is available. It's for you. Others of you, though, you don't know what to do with this because you never really emphasize it. You were never taught about the Spirit. In fact, the Trinity for you is God, Jesus, and the Holy Bible, okay? Those are the three things that you focus on, and the Spirit is something that's written about in the Bible. It's a little weird. I've been to those churches. I'm not going back, so... To help us all, let's see how Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. In a conversation he was having with his disciples, he was trying to help them understand what was happening next. And Jesus was giving a lot of information to, frankly, a group of guys that resemble me. They were a little phased and confused. They were like, I have no idea what cross, tomb, wait, you're leaving us. And in the midst of all of that, as Jesus says, at some point I'm going to leave you, here's what he says, I will then ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another helper, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. And so while Jesus is trying to say, hey, I've got a purpose that I was sent to earth to accomplish. I'm going to die on the cross to defeat the power of sin. I'm going to come back from the dead. It's the central event of the Christian faith. It's what we are professing changes our nature as Christians. And so when all of that's done, Jesus is like, I'm actually going to leave. And the advocate, notice it's not an adjective. It's a capital A. It's personified. The helper, that's a name for the Holy Spirit. The advocate is going to come. He's going to give help. He's never going to leave you. He's going to lead you to all truth. Here you actually see Jesus teaching about the Trinity at work. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. Imagine being there for the first time. Like, as a Jewish person, this is so confusing. I imagine they're listening, but they're not fully understanding. They couldn't fully grasp the significance until after Jesus' resurrection. In Acts chapter 1, when he talks about the Holy Spirit coming and giving them power, and then when they did, they sat around and they were like, what did Jesus say about this? This advocate, this helper. Well, the first thing that we see is the word used to describe the Holy Spirit, the name, that it's a helper. So friends, here's what that means. The God who loves you has sent a helper for you. Why? Because we can't do it alone. I'm not alone. Second, is this helper will never leave you. There isn't a certain prayer, set of spiritual activities that you have to do to kind of conjure up the Spirit in your life. He's available. It's why in the Jewish faith and in the first century church, what you would see inside of churches and you still see oftentimes today are candles. I'll come back for that. Are candles lit not to create ambiance, but as a symbol of God's abiding presence. In fact, I have some pastoral friends, every time they're reading their Bible or prayer, they will light a fragrant candle as a tangible way to bring their senses around the fact that God is there with them. They're opening their awareness to the fact that God is here. And not only is God here in a tangible presence, what else does the Spirit do? He leads into all truth. What does that mean? It means he brings light to what feels dark, unsure, confusing. So let's unpack what this means. If your temptation is to avoid tension, if your temptation is to avoid discomfort, God, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, says you're not alone. You have a helper for you. And when I feel like it's all on me, like I have to strive and drive to accomplish, because if I don't, it won't, God's Spirit says you don't have all the resources that you need. It will crush you. Stop and remember that I'm present. And when I'm anxious, worrying about all of the what ifs and trying to solve for all of the problems, and what if this happens and what if this happens, God's Spirit can help me take a deep breath and help me remember what is true, not just what if. And when I feel defeated, like I can't and I don't have what it takes and I'll never get to where I need, it'll never happen. The God who loves me reminds me that he sent me an advocate because he is not only with me, he is for me. This is not escapism. This is the supernatural, personal presence of God empowering us and enabling us to live out his purpose. And so maybe you're wondering, well, why don't people talk about this more? Like, why don't I hear people share about the Spirit? Well, look at what Jesus says. He says, the world, our culture, cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Perhaps that's you. But you who know him, he's talking to his followers, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. What's Jesus teaching? That when you follow him, when you know him, and the word for know isn't like, oh, I know about Jesus, like I think he lived in history. The word is gnosko. It's like the way you know a friend. Oh, I know them. Like I've experienced them. He's saying when you experience me, you will experience him. And for the disciples, they're experiencing the Spirit with them. And after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they will experience what we get to experience, the Spirit in us. See, the Holy Spirit is something we receive. It's not something that we achieve. It's not a checklist. It's not things that you do. It's God's grace in our life. The challenge is that an unbelieving world cannot experience, cannot recognize, is not looking for, therefore they cannot receive what God's Spirit has. What does that mean? It means if you have not placed your faith in Christ, then you cannot access the power of the Spirit. In other words, no Jesus, no Spirit. But if you know Jesus, then you will know and experience, begin to experience the Spirit's work in your life. God did not leave you and me to just try to navigate this life on our own resources. I mean, you could try, and some of you are doing better than others. Like, it's like, well, I don't know that I really need God in my life. But where we begin to experience God's peace is when we experience His Spirit within us. See, God sent Jesus, His Son, to defeat the power of sin and shame by offering forgiveness at the cross, by inviting us into new life because of the empty tomb, His resurrection. And then God's Spirit empowers us in our daily life to grow in our knowing of Him. And so the bottom line for this series and for today, really, is that God's Spirit is what keeps us steady. And when I'm not feeling steady, it's an invitation to go, okay, God, I need to be aware of You. I need to increase my awareness of where You're at. It's God's Spirit that helps us live unfazed. And as we know and experience, as we are filled with God's Spirit, the steadier we will be in the midst of very difficult and challenging circumstances. Trying to do it on your own, you can, but it's exhausting. It will burn you out. It's deadly. I'll give you an example. Every time I'm invited, which is often, you know, every time I'm preparing for a message, my heart wants to be helpful to all of you. For people who are encountering a church service, for some of you for the very first time, I remember what it's like to step into church, and now intimidating and weird, some of it can sound like, can I even belong here? I'm so glad that you're here. And yet I've walked with Jesus for years. I want to be helpful for those of you that could potentially stand up here and give this message. I want you to like me. I want you to laugh at my jokes. I want this to be a meaningful experience. And if I'm not careful, I will start to carry the weight and the burden and look at my own resources in order to try to accomplish all of those things. And it is crushing. But when I take a step back and I remember that between my mouth and your ears, I believe that God's Spirit shows up and speaks what your heart needs to hear, then I find peace and a confident humility that in spite of myself, the God who loves you is for you. And if you're willing, He will speak life to you regardless of how I do. That's the power of God's Spirit. That's how God helps me when we're making leadership decisions. God, what is Your Spirit inviting us to do? When I'm parenting my kids, or when I'm navigating a difficult circumstance, when I'm aware that God, who is for me, who loves me, is with me, it helps change the way that I'm phased in that circumstance. But I have to remember that God is not just out there. He lives within me. And so how does He keep us steady? Jesus teaches that when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything. He'll be a guide, and He'll remind you of everything that I've told you. He's going to help us understand the next steps to take, and He's going to remind us of Jesus, of what Jesus has already accomplished that you don't have to accomplish for yourself. That Jesus paid the penalty for sin so that you don't have to. That Jesus has made a way for you to have a true and better life in eternity with Him so you don't have to try to bring heaven to earth in your earthly life. You have eternity with Him. That we have purpose here. That's what the Holy Spirit is reminding us. In other words, when you open up your Bible, you can't really understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. Sure, you can read it. Sure, you will intellectually understand, but the words will have no spiritual power aside from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings life and power to that ancient text. It means when you're in church, don't just listen to me. Ask God's Spirit, what is it that You have for me today? Starting with the songs and the stories and maybe a lobby conversation, because when your heart is open, I believe that God speaks. When you're reading the Living It Out or doing the daily, be open to what God's Spirit says. When you walk into work or school or a family gathering or your neighborhood, God, what is Your Spirit? I am aware that You are with me. Where are You leading me today? When you're filling out something that you're grateful for, your daily gratitude, whatever it is, the Spirit's job is to teach and to remind us. That is His role. Because the truth is, some of you have heard me say this before, God is up to 10,000 things in your life. You may be aware of 3 of them. And so you can either trust him in the steps that he's putting in front of you, or you can continue to live life on your own. The choice is yours. And so the question I want you thinking about is, which way have you been leaning? Are you leaning into trusting him? Or have you been carrying the burden of your life? Are you trying to do it your way? Because when we follow the Spirit, it leads to life and peace. When we do it our own way, it leads to death eventually. Life and peace or death. You don't have to take my word for it. This is what Jesus says next. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. That's what he calls the Holy Spirit. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace that he gives is a holistic peace. It's shalom, not just the absence of problems. The peace that he leaves is not a thing. It's the person of the Holy Spirit within you. That's why it's a peace that the world cannot give. The world tries to sell us peace. I mean, as you're watching football or your favorite shows, just look at the different ads and commercials that come on, whatever it is that you're watching. The world's trying to sell you why this new car can bring peace, why this meal or this restaurant or this medication will help solve your problem, aside from the 30,000 side effects that maybe, you know, whatever, in the fine print, right? The world tries to sell us all sorts of things. And I'm not saying that that's bad. It's just ultimately not the peace of mind and heart, a holistic, multidimensional peace that your spirit craves. And so God offers that in a relationship with him. And it's that relationship that enables you and me to not be troubled or afraid. And so who needs the Holy Spirit today? Like, I know I do. And he's available to every one of you who've placed your faith in Christ. And so how do we walk in step with the Spirit, and like how do we live that? We'll talk about that next week. Right now, your only homework assignment is not to change anything in your life. It's just to increase your awareness. Increase your awareness to how you're reacting to our crazy messed up world, to who you're reacting to why you're reacting that way. It's to increase your awareness to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never asked God to give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus invites us to ask, and he would love to give good gifts to those who ask him. So maybe you need to do that today. In fact, the response area of candles at each of our campuses is really a place where you can mark a moment where you want to increase your awareness of God in your life, where you want more of his light in a dark and difficult circumstance for you or someone that you know. The cross is a place of surrender. The candles are a place to go, God, I need more of you because I've been distracted. And so maybe that's a tangible step. You're just going to mark a moment. I want to be more aware of God's Spirit in my life. And so this week, pay attention to that. When you go to work, God, keep my eyes open. Imagine how life could be different if you could experience his Spirit giving you more peace throughout your day. I believe there are probably some of you who have never placed your faith in Christ. The truth is, you can grow up going to church and never have marked a moment where you've surrendered control of your life to Jesus. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you're actually following him. Just because that's what your family says that you are doesn't mean that you've personally invited Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You can read your Bible and still miss this. And so if you can't think of a moment when you've placed your faith in him and begun to experience God's Spirit in your life, I want to invite you to do that today. In fact, I want to invite all of you to have a prayerful moment. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you, would you just ask God's Spirit to speak and clarify your next step? And for those of you that need to place your faith in Christ, just tell him right now in the quietness of your heart, just say, God, I want to surrender my life to you today. I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. I believe that his resurrection makes it possible for me to be changed, to have new life with you. And so I surrender control of my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to follow you the rest of my life. Mark that moment for you today. God, I pray for all of us that we would encounter and be aware of your Spirit more and more, that we would stop trying to do things on our own, but instead, in partnership with you, would you grow your peace in us and through us in the midst of our crazy, chaotic world, so that not only would our soul find rest in you, but our lives would be an example, a message to our weary world about the hope that we can find in you. Use us in this day and time to help people see who you really are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.